Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pieces from Prison. I'm excited to be back with another letter this week. This is our first new letter of season two. We've not had too many letters since the ending of season one, so I'm going to get right into it. So the man in this letter is incarcerated for second-degree murder and child abuse in the first degree. He starts out by saying, "It took me several years to try and process and understand everything. How did this happen? Why me? The what ifs. It is hard to accept that one action took the life of someone I loved and adored so much. I lost my marriage, friends, my job, and time with my family. Even worst, and most important, is that my daughter missed out on the great things life has to offer. My wife had to bury our daughter while I was in jail awaiting trial. No one should have to go through that. Our families had to go through this grief and suffering too. It doesn't matter that it was an accident. It never should have happened. I spent my whole life around kids babysitting. I dated several girls with young kids and loved it. I remember one girl I dated and lived with broke up with me at work. I cried immediately, and it was because I loved her daughter more than I loved her. I still try and find sense and reason on how this happened. I had everything a guy could want and ruined it. I watched shows like American Idol, The Voice, and MasterChef. I always key in on the young girl / woman that my daughter could have been. I don't think that will ever go away. It's easy to look back and say I would do this differently if I could. The problem is there is no rewind button in life. Our actions not only affect us, but others too. I don't want anyone to ever feel the way I feel every day. It is a monumental weight to carry knowing someone died because of me. They say time heals all wounds, and that may be true in part, but time doesn't change the memory or the facts."
Wow.
Keeps going.
I know, I don't even know, like, what happened, but it's already very deep. It just makes you think about how things can change so quickly.
So he goes on to say, "My life in prison has been tolerable considering what it is. I have people in here I've known longer than any friend I had out there. I work 30 hours a week in the chair factory. Before COVID, I was getting regular visits from mom and dad. The hardest part of prison is you're stuck in a moment in time. Every day is the same. There is no way to move forward. I'm learning French on my own and working out regularly. Even in doing all those things to stay busy, I'm stuck. I wake up every day and go to sleep every night with one thing on my mind. The what could have and what should have been. Prison is twofold in its purpose, punishment and rehabilitation. I can tell that even when released, I will be punished every day by the memory of what I've done. I do believe that I'm rehabilitated for the crime I've committed. I don't have a dictionary definition of rehabilitated, but I can guess in some sense it means to understand the wrong that was done, how it affected others, and how to avoid this situation from ever happening again. Extra credit would be to help others avoid this situation from happening to them. One thing that has become crystal clear is that what really matters in life is the people who are in yours. I want to spend time with family. I want to start a business and work from home. I would like to travel to France and see if I can hold my own conversationally. Another thing I really want to do is get into volunteer or mission work. I watched the movie Soul Surfer and it really hit me. There is one scene when Anna Sophia Robb is overcome with emotion, seeing the despair. They end up handing out food and offering support to the locals. I feel like I have a unique perspective of life now having been in prison. I really want to make a difference moving forward." And then he goes on to talk about his life history. He says, "I am almost 6 years younger than my brother. My upbringing was happy, family-oriented, and full of joy. We always had lots of kids in the neighborhood to play with. I was a B-minus student in school, ran track and cross-country, wrestled, but baseball was my passion. I think I was good enough to play in college, at least that is what I was being told. Unfortunately, I broke a bone in my throwing arm, which forced me out of baseball. I babysat for friends and family to earn extra money. My parents divorced when I was 14, which was really hard to go through. I then had to make the impossible choice of which parent I wanted to live with. I chose my mom because it was the easier option. By easier, I mean a less strict household. My dad remarried a school teacher who was really nice to me. My dad was an awesome father when I was growing up. As I got into my teen years, I didn't see eye to eye with him. He wanted me to go to college, be responsible, and follow his path. I was young, irresponsible, and just wanted to hang with friends and party. I did go off to college, but I never applied myself. This was about the time my dad and I had stopped talking to each other. He was quick to point out my mistakes, and I didn't want to hear it. In fact, we didn't speak again up until 2000. I dropped out of college and moved in with my girlfriend. For the next 7 years, I basically ruined everything about my life that I could. I was distant with my family, burned myself financially, and I was drinking a lot. I got in trouble in 1998. I reached out to my brother for help, and he took me to my dad. I ended up moving in with my dad, and then moved out on my own again. My brother ended up moving away for work. I stopped talking with my dad again and didn't speak to him again until he got in trouble again. In 2001, I met my wife. We moved in together in a few months and life was great. We got married and our daughter was born in December. I had a great life. Everything was going to plan. I started with a landscaping company. I got close with my boss and his family. My wife and I spent time with them on the weekends, playing cards, and even going fishing. It's hard to say I was heading down a wrong path that led me to being in prison. I was working 50 to 60 hours a week, landscaping and snow removal. I worked all day and my wife worked third shift at first. Then we decided to put our daughter in daycare so we could actually see each other. This was very expensive, but we made it work. I woke up every morning, Monday through Friday, and took my daughter to daycare on my way to work. Whoever got off work first would pick her up. We were so happy. In the evenings, I would take pictures, probably too many, and I bought a DVD camcorder to record her. I was a techie, and I really enjoyed capturing her grow up on digital media. I made slideshows set to music and built a website just for her pictures and video. I wanted our families to have access to all the content. This would be much easier in current times. My daughter was born with a couple medical issues and spent 20 plus hospital/doctor visits in 11 months to address them. In simple terms, a portion of her skull hadn't been formed completely. She had a CT scan that showed bleeding on her brain, a subdermal hematoma, in July of 2005 and ordered an MRI. It was believed to have been a complication from the AAC. A subsequent MRI in August showed no anomaly. All good, so we thought. In October, she was diagnosed with MRSA in the same spot. In late November, after Thanksgiving, she was acting off. Really hard crying when laid down and definitely not her character. My wife and I wanted to take her to see a doctor, and I ultimately didn't. A decision that will bother me forever. That night, my wife went into work overnight and I had my daughter for the night. I had worked 12 hours that day and came home and cleaned the gutters out. I was exhausted. That night she was crying and of course I wanted to fix it, but I didn't know how. I was frustrated that night and thrust her into her crib mattress. I was immediately horrified at what I had done. This set into motion a complication of her AAC. I took full responsibility in my action and was willing to accept the consequences. It was an accident. I never meant to hurt her. At trial, the medical examiner for the state testified that it is likely she would have died in the future because of the chronic subdural hematoma without what I had done. I was ultimately sentenced to 30 years in prison for second-degree murder. So that's the end of the letter. It's a very sad story. Hearing things from his point of view makes you think a little bit. I'm not sure if it changes my perspective or anyone's perspective of this case from the outside looking in, because it just sounds awful. It's hard to look over killing an innocent baby.
Mm-hmm. It just shows like how much mental strength I think it takes to be a parent, especially if your child has
medical conditions,
an illness that's making them, you know, crying even more than what would be expected. You have to have a lot of patience.
Yeah. But without giving too much away, I read through the case notes, and it said that because the baby wouldn't stop crying, he threw the baby into their crib from about 2 feet away. The cause of death ended up being blunt force trauma to the head and complications from subdural hemorrhaging. This is aside from the case, but there was also evidence that when he was caring for another child years prior, he did something similar. He is said to have shook the baby pretty hard, which ended up causing hematomas and hemorrhages as well. So while it's good that this person believes he's been rehabilitated while being in prison, but it does not take away from what he has done. But like you said, he takes full responsibility for his actions. But child abuse cases break my heart like no other.
And it's hard too, because there's no like rule book. Like I think I'd be terrified to be a mother, but still, in any case, it's not an excusable action.
I know. So that's the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back with another episode next Tuesday. As always, you can follow us on our socials at Pieces from Prison Pod on TikTok and Instagram, or visit our website at pfppodcast.com. You can subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you know when new episodes are being released. And rate us so we know how we're doing. Thank you again for listening, and you will hear us again soon.